help us to commence this evening with hymn 550. Holy Ghost, we look to thee, raise the dead, the captive free, from the mighty take the prey, teach the weak to watch and pray. 515.
Thank you. Let's read together from God's holy word, from Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word. Help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we come to thee through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We seek that mercy through the blood of the everlasting covenant and the blood-sprinkled mercy seat that thou hast promised to meet us over. And now, Lord, do look upon this assembly and do command thy blessing of eternal life into sinners' hearts. We thank thee, Lord, for the blessings that thou hast blessed in recent days amongst our churches, the baptizing yesterday. We do thank thee for these tokens of thy loving kindness and of thy Spirit's work still amongst us, thy faithfulness, and we pray that many might be encouraged through the blessing of one. And, O Lord, we are not worthy of the least of thy favours and blessings. And, Lord, we are part of a nation that has cast thy word behind our back, that will not listen to thy voice in all the things that come upon us, that turn us every one to our own way. And, O Lord, we do pray for mercy, that thou be pleased to turn this land again. May there be a real spiritual revival, that there be many that desire to hear what thy word really says, what really is the message from Almighty God. May there be a generation raised up that will desire not to be deceived and not to have the word of God handled deceitfully in their presence, but desire to be told the truth. And, O Lord, may it spread through this land. May there be, Lord, that done which can only be the work of thy Holy Spirit. Answer the prayer in our first hymn. Do grant that powerful work of thy Spirit. But do begin with us here. You grant thy blessing upon thy word this evening. O Lord, do come with us and do have mercy upon us. Strengthen, Lord, one to speak in thy name, and do grant each that hearing ear. Come where thy people are. Lord, thou knowest what each are passing through, the things that happen in their lives that bring to memory things that have happened years ago, those things that are revived, made more keen, made piercing. Lord, do thou be pleased to remember those who walked the widow of Zarephath's path when her son died. Art thou come to bring my sin to remembrance? O Lord, do remember those here who may feel that things that are happening or have happened, or things that have been brought to their attention, bring their sin to remembrance. O Lord, may it work as it did for her in a real blessing for her soul. We pray that thou would remember those in our land at this time that are in great distress, those who have lost their loved ones, all of their possessions and their homes. O Lord, those who are plunged into great trial and tribulation. And, O Lord, we pray that they might be led to thee, that thou hast direct their footsteps to hear the true witness of the gospel, to find refuge in the only place where refuge is to be found. Lord, that it might be that it turned for good in personal, individual cases. But Lord, we do pray for those of our fellow mortals. We pray also for those in authority over us, that they might be given, Lord, the wisdom to know how to act, and that thou hast raised up those counsellors that do bring before them the word of God. O Lord, do have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon our churches, and be pleased to build us up and strengthen us again and Lord, the many little hills of Zion, where thy truth is faithfully set forth in this land, O Lord, do encourage and strengthen and build them up. We pray for a return of vital godliness and a close walk with thee. O Lord, we feel our need of it in our own soul. O Lord, we would pray with the hymn writer, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus in his word? And O Lord, we do seek for the life and savour and sweetness in the things of God. And O Lord, that thou would remember, Lord, those that are in bereavement amongst our people. We thank thee for bringing safely home to glory thy dear servant Seth Mercer, so greatly used and blessed amongst our churches. We thank thee for his long ministry and faithful service. We seek, Lord, that thou hast comfort his dear widow and be with the family and be with the church at Eastbourne and their dear pastor, his son. And, O Lord, we do commit them that mourn unto thee. O Lord, be pleased to send forth more labourers into the harvest. May it be that even now, hidden amongst the staff, maybe not even yet church members, there are those that are exercised upon the solemn work of the ministry. And, O Lord, we seek that thou hast bring forth, according to thy promise, pastors also, after thine own heart. Remember this cause of truth here, and be pleased to shine upon them, and grant, Lord, a pastor to go in and out amongst them. O Lord, bless them with showing them who they should ask, and make there to be a work on both sides. May they feel and know that blessing in their midst. We seek, Lord, thy blessing upon the witness in this place, the Bibles that go into the schools to bless them. O Lord, may there be those that read thy word and are converted through it. And Lord, do grant that that witness might not fall to the ground. Thou hast said, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the thing whereto I sent it. We thank thee for open doors. We thank thee for shut doors. We thank thee for the expectation of blessing, and we pray for it, that there might be thy blessing. O Lord, do grant that there might be always an equal or much greater amount of energy expended in prayer than in outward acts of sending forth thy word. O Lord, we do seek that we might be kept to that. We acknowledge how often we are neglecting of prayer and so backward in that. And O Lord, do grant us to be much in prayer. And Lord, we do pray for our dear aged friends. Remember those who feel the grasshopper a burden, that feel the infirmities and weaknesses of the way. We pray for those in our Bethesda homes and in the pilgrim homes. Bless them in their last days and grant unto them that good hope through grace. And do bless the children here. We thank thee for the families and the little ones. We do seek thy blessing upon them. Lord, those who have ventured out this evening, do bless them and help them. We pray for help in the warmth of the evening, in speaking and in hearing. Bless our dear brother at the desk, each of the deacons. Bless them, bless the hymns that are given out, and their dear wives as well. And, O Lord, bless the church here. O Lord, we plead thee pardon and forgiveness of our every sin, that thou hast grant us godly and daily repentance, and that thou hast grant us that humility before thee and man. O make us tender in thy fear, to hear thy still small voice, to not resist thy spirit, but that we might be made tender, and give us a thankful heart from every murmur free, and may, Lord, we enjoy those blessings given as from thy hand, and return to give thee thanks. O Lord, help us then, and come to us in thy word. We ask through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 399. Amid 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. 399.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the portion we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and reading for our text verses 6 and 7. 6 and 7, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Here the apostle in the first place is speaking of himself and of the ministers of the gospel. He speaks of a ministry that he had received, and that they were handling that word of God not deceitfully, but bringing the truth and making that manifest in every man's conscience and in the sight of God. That some did not receive the word, he acknowledges it. He says, if our gospel, the good news, is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And he says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And in all that he is speaking, he is setting forth as a minister that he is but a poor man, a vessel of the earth, that it is not him that they are to hear or receive, but the precious truth of the gospel that he is speaking and revealing to them and showing to them. And that because of that, it is not man that gets the praise, but is God that gets all the praise and honour and glory. And what God does for his servants and through his servants, he also does for his people, because they also are men, vessels, earthen vessels, and the work and the treasure and the blessing that is given in their souls, it is for God's honour and glory. Really, in this passage, there is a simple illustration that speaks of earthen vessels, and I'm conscious that those perhaps outside of our circles would not be familiar with that term. Maybe some here not either. But earthen, of course, it speaks of something from the earth. And we could perhaps re-term it and say a clay pot. If we were to get clay out of the ground, it comes from the earth, and then form that into a pot, into a vessel, and then put it into a furnace and heat that and fire it high temperature, and you get your pot that you might find in a nursery or something. If it's not glazed especially, it looks very plain and simple, and it's just of earth. If you're not careful with it, it could easily be broken, and generally they're not worth that much. And so we have here an earthen vessel, but he's comparing himself as a minister like that. And of course we are made out of the earth. God formed us out of the ground, and so we are like that. We are an earthen vessel. A vessel is something that is meant to have things put in it. The vessel itself is not the important thing at all. It's what is actually put in it. And so what is put in this vessel, we are told that it is a treasure. And he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And we're told what that treasure is, It is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. It is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we can get very hardened in these things because we hear the truths of the gospel every week. But you imagine if we were to go to somewhere where they had never ever heard of the Lord Jesus. They had never heard of the gospel. In this land, perhaps, many, many places, you'll find that there would be a total ignorance. And you get someone, a minister of the gospel, someone who knows that treasure, and they are coming to a people and telling them something, telling them of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling them of the gospel and the way of salvation that they have never heard of before, never knew anything about it, never knew the need of it, never knew anything about all of the doctrines of the salvation of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to one that needed such a thing, that would be a wonderful blessing to have that knowledge and to have that imparted and to be conveyed to them. The solemn thing, and the apostle had it in his day, there were those that were walking in craftiness. They were handling the word of God deceitfully. They had the word of God, but they were giving the wrong message and twisting it about and undermining even what the apostle was setting forth. And we have that today, and there are many round about that will also be speaking of the Lord Jesus, but in a deceitful way, not in a clear way. And the apostle here, he had to contend with those people as well. And some of them, they looked much more eloquent than him. They didn't look like, shall we say, earthen vessels. They looked as if they were important people and had men's persons in admiration. They admired these people and despised the apostle because he was afflicted. He was a small man, and they said his speech was contemptible. But the apostle says, no, but don't look at the vessel. It's the treasure that is in the vessel. It's what I'm bringing that is the important thing. And there's a reason for that the glory is not mine. These others that are speaking in this way, they are taking the glory to themselves, but the glory must be Christ. The glory is the treasure itself, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's setting this forth before the Corinthians. And it was very important for them. He longed for them that they might be blessed, that they might be saved. And if they were going to be deceived by these false preachers, then they weren't going to hear his message. They'd be offended at that message and they wouldn't be blessed. So he seeks to take away what obstacles there might be and focus their attention on the message that he was bringing and to hear that. I think I just glanced at it, but some of you have got the Perceptions, and I think there's an article in there where a man went to hear Mr. Philpott, and I just saw something said, but I went to hear the man and I was greatly disappointed. And we can easily do that. You can go to hear a minister and really you're wanting to hear that man, and maybe you get on with him better than others, and you're not really so much listening to the message as to the man. It's a lot better thing to go home from the house of God, and if someone asks you how you got on, to be actually filled with the message of Christ than with the messenger and what he was like. And John the Baptist, when he pointed out the Lord Jesus Christ, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the disciples, they heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And that's the desire of every minister of the gospel. The apostle, he says, be followers of me, but then he says, as I also am of Christ. And he'd have them follow the teaching that he taught that was a following of Christ. Only follow a man as far as he follows Christ. Then there's so the first way there is taking away from them obstacles that would stop them receiving and hearing the word. Focus their attention on the blessing and the preciousness of that, of the message, and make a way for that word to enter into their hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit, as he says here. And not be discouraged that there were some that weren't receiving that word. There'll be some people that will say, well, if you're a good preacher, then everyone that hears you, they will all embrace the word and follow. And yet the apostle said, no, that's not the case. There will be those that the gospel, however clearly it's set forth, it will be hid from them. And that's nothing against the message or the minister. There's many who heard the Lord Jesus Christ and they said that he was mad. Why hear ye him? And they said he hath a devil. The many things they said against the Lord. And so we do not measure the success or the reception of the word by how eloquent the word. In another place, when the apostle writes, I think it's in his first epistle, he says that his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, lest we make the gospel to be of none effect. It was to be the word that had the power from heaven and not just the eloquence of it. The simplest truths of the gospel set forth, most plainly set forth, they are attended by the Holy Spirit, who work powerfully and effectively in the heart. Never despise the word of God. Always be looking for that power of God attending the preached word. What a difference it would make each time we come into the house of God and you're looking for the treasure that is to be brought forth before you. And so there's another side as well, and that is the side of the believer, because the believer also is an earthen vessel, and we very much feel what we are by nature. We very much feel our earthboundness and all that we are. Sometimes we can be tempted to think if we're God's people, then we are somehow going to be perfect and very different. We won't have an old nature. We won't have our old self. We won't be troubled by things that we think shouldn't be there in the people of God. And so it's necessary to discern the difference between the vessel. Our Lord says your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, it is within you. And discern the difference between ourselves and what is actually put in. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. The Lord spoke the parables of the treasure that was found in the field, the pearl of great price. That which when a man saw and knew of, he wanted that for himself. But when if we get like a natural treasure like that, if we get a gold ring or gold brooch or whatever it is and we put it on, we've got that treasure. That's very valuable, but it doesn't change us. We're still the same. And so with the precious truths of God, that which the Lord puts in his people, the preciousness of the gift is not tarnished and is not lessened by the vessel. It sanctifies the vessel with the truths of the gospel, will have a profound effect upon the people of God in whom that truth is. But it is a real encouragement to remember, as God remembers, that we are but dust, as a shadow that passes soon away, and that we are but of the earth. We are like the broken reed or the smoking flax. We are those like the pot, the earthen pot, that can be easily broken. And the Lord knows that. And he doesn't despise his dear people for their weakness and what they are. And so this word has that application for the servants and also for the people of God. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So I want to look then first at the treasure that believers have, or that the Lord's servants have, and to impart to the people of God. And then where that treasure is placed, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And then highlight the reason why, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Firstly, there is the treasure that believers have. Now, we've said already, and what is set forth here, it is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That light shines upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who really is the key to the whole gospel. It is the secret of the Lord, which is with them that fear him. Many first believers, the thing that they will say, the thing that I trust I knew myself, is that the secret is Christ. It is all Christ. It is all what he is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is everything. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him. Everything focuses and centers on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's provision for lost and ruined sinners. This is why the apostle says, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he would not be turned away from that. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Our Lord said, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall perish in your sins. And so there is a light of this knowledge. Now, we can learn things in the head. You can learn the doctrines of God in the head. But what is spoken here, you can never learn except by experience. You think of perhaps a natural illustration. Maybe those of you that are younger, quite a bit younger, older ones have tried to explain what it is to fall in love. And they explain what it is, and you think, well, you know what that is. But until you do fall in love with someone, you don't know the feelings or experience of what that is at all. And I remember our children saying, now how will I know? How will I know if I fall in love? Well, when they did, you didn't have to tell them how they should know. They knew. And the experience of the things of God is absolutely vital. And that difference is what is spoken of here. And it's spoken of as a light. It's spoken of as that which comes from God, and that shines upon the whole gospel plan in such a way as to make Christ precious, to draw the soul to him. No man cometh unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. And to see as you have not seen before. To see that and think, why didn't I see that before? I know, I think with both of our children, they have said things to me, we never saw this, we never knew this. And almost through this night, I said to them, but I preached that to you for years. But they were dead. They didn't know. They couldn't know until the Lord opened their eyes. And then it was as if it was so new, as if they'd never heard that before. But they just heard it for the first time with power, and their eyes had been opened and they saw it. And so though the same truths were being set forth, it wasn't being heard with the same ears, and it was being heard with power. There was a difference. The power attending the word makes a difference, and it makes a difference in the understanding and reception of that word. When the Lord rose from the dead, he appeared to the two on the way to Emmaus, and the conspicuous thing there, he opened unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And we read their heart burned within them. It really profoundly touched them. And they could see what they couldn't see before. They began in full sorrow, had seen the cross, had seen the sacrifice offered, and yet didn't realize what they had seen until the Lord showed them and opened it up. And when he came back to the disciples, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That opening of the understanding, never despise that. That really is the work of the Spirit and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to open up that secret that's hidden from countless millions. But for his dear people, it's shown them and opened up to them. And we read, unto you which believe, he is precious. Christ will be precious. Christ will be loved. He will be the one thing needful to that soul. And you will want to follow him. You will want to walk in his ways. You want to be where he is. You want to be with his people, and you'll love his people. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And there'll be that of which you have a union with the people of God when you realize they've known the same things. Spiritual blessings as well. You can explain them. And I think those of you here, maybe you've written for the church book, or had to put down your experience of the things of God. And when you've done so, when you've tried to tell, you've felt how poor that is. That really doesn't set forth what I felt. That hasn't done justice to the blessing I felt to have had. And we can't describe it. But you've only got to give a few words of hint to one who has felt the same. You don't have to say any more. They interpret it by what they have felt. If you have had two people, and they both say have had an angiogram, and one just says a little about what happened in that operation, and the other person immediately knows. But they don't interpret it by the words of the people explaining what happened to them. They think of what happened to themselves. They went through that same experience. Perhaps someone who has had other experiences. You don't have to tell the whole thing. It's just a key, and you know that person understands. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Being let go, they went unto their own company, went unto those who understood them and knew what was precious to them. And so the treasure that believers have that treasure, that knowledge of the Lord and his blessings. But I want to divide it a little in this way as well. We mustn't think that just because the Lord calls his people by grace, gives them spiritual life and opens their understanding, that then they really have the knowledge automatically of the treasure and the blessing that they have without being taught it and without having been instructed. You think of maybe for years we've sat under the truth and all we've heard is just in the head, but when the Lord has given us spiritual life, then we are hearing the word as a living soul, and then we are beginning to be instructed in the things of God. And the life must come first. A dead person cannot be taught or instructed, but one quickened into life will. I think one of the most telling illustrations of this is when Paul writes to the Ephesians. Now, in the second chapter, the epistle to Ephesians, he says to them, remember these are the Gentiles. He says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So they have been made alive. They were spiritually dead, and now they're alive. But in the first chapter, he writes to them and he tells them the blessings, or really the treasures of the gospel that were now theirs. And in a natural way, and I hope there are those of you here, even if you cannot lay claim that the Lord is your God, that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And it may be he's given you answers to prayer in a providential way. You've seen his hand, you've thanked him for it. And you then almost associate the blessing of the Lord with some providential blessing, something, a recovery from illness, or a job that's been given, exam results, or something where you've sought the Lord. Maybe the Lord's timing has been so wonderful, as I could look back in some of my early employments and see the Lord's hand. And you think, well, that is what the blessing of the Lord is. That's what answers to prayer. And we're looking at in a material sense. Well, the apostle, when he writes to the Ephesians, he introduces to them and magnifies something very different, and that is spiritual blessings. Because he says in chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There is their treasure. There is Christ, who they have received and seen and quickened them into life and given them eternal life. And he says, you have all spiritual blessings in him. These are some blessings that the world knows nothing of. Only the chosen ones of the Lord know this. Now remember, the Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. The Lord heals the just, the unjust, God's people, those that are not. He gives the sun to shine on those who fear him and those who don't. He gives food to everyone, though they don't ask a blessing on the food or give thanks. The food still comes from the Lord. It doesn't just come from the Lord for God's people and come from somewhere else for those that are not. And so when we look then at spiritual blessings, we're having blessings that only the people of God know. The Lord said, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Men who know natural things, they do like the Lord reproved. They said, you follow me just for the loaves and the fishes, just for the things that they can get out in a material way. But then he introduced them in that John chapter 6, to spiritual blessings. Except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, ye have no life in you. And so then, the apostle sees to explain and set before the Ephesians what these spiritual blessings are. And he says in verse 4, he opens up these blessings, he goes through the first part of that first chapter, the blessings have been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So we say to that believer that has been, I have the understanding opened, what you have had, you were chosen in Christ before you were born, before the foundation of the world, not for any good in you, but just because of the good pleasure of God and the love of God to you. He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And so those who are quickened, he said, this is an aspect of this treasure that you have, you may not be aware of at all. And then he says, the reason of this, that we might be holy and without blame before him in love. Then he says in verse 5 of that first chapter, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. We're used to the idea of a family unit. Well, here is a picture of the family of the people of God, and they're put into that family, is adopted into that family. They weren't part of it first, in the place that it was said unto them, ye are not the people of God, there shall it be said that ye are the children of the living God. And so they're put in amongst the family. The spirit of adoption, Romans 8 speaks of it very beautifully, of people that will be able to say, Abba, Father, 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 to one who once was a stranger to them and not a father. You think of what the Lord says to the scribes and the Pharisees, that ye do the works of your father, the devil. And we all come into the world speaking lies. We are all under Satan's rule. And yet the Lord brings his people and he adopts them into his living family. And of course his people, in the sense of chosen in him, they have from eternity always been his family. But it's spoken of here as how it is actually realized in the experience of a child of God here below. You think of Ruth, she's saying, though I be not like one of thine handmaids. She didn't feel like one of Bethlehem's children. She was from the children of Moab, and they couldn't come into the house of the Lord. The males, it seems the males only, but she was brought in. And yet how she felt. Some of us who've perhaps moved from one place to another, I know we've been in Cranbrook now for 22 years, but we tend to still feel, well, we're newcomers, we come over from Australia, and yet we've lived there a lot longer than many of the locals. And so, yet with this blessing to be taken and put amongst the people of God. I remember when I was really exercised on the things of God, I used to sit at the back of Melbourne Chapel when they had the Lord's Supper, and they were at the front, and I longed to be amongst them. And yet I felt all those rows of seats in between, how far away I was not like them. And yet I longed to be amongst them. And the wonder when the Lord did bless me, and bless me with a real attraction to the Lord's Supper through the blessings I'd had in the Lord, the surprise it was, what, me partake, me join the people of God, I felt so unlike them. And yet this is the blessing here of the Lord has always appointed that his people that he has chosen should in their lifetime be put amongst the people of God. Some have gone way away from the people of God. Some have said that they'll never be joined to them. They'll never believe and walk in that way. And the Lord's worked in their hearts. Remember the dear pastor in New Zealand when I met him in 1982. And he'd run away from Holland. He thought, I'm not going to have anything to do with the things of God. And he went over to New Zealand and married a wife, a New Zealander, an unbeliever. And then the Lord called him by grace. Blessed his soul, those miles away. And he went back to Holland. He said, I can't stay in New Zealand. It's not a church. But the Dutch churches, they said, no, you ran away. You went to New Zealand. You go back to New Zealand. And you start a church there and we'll support you financially in every way. And he went back just on his own. And from that one man, there's now a very large church there in Carterton. And I was there 10 years after he started, and they had a church or congregation of 45 and a school from preps to leaving. And the Lord had really blessed that. And that all began with a man that had first said, no, I'm not having anything to do with the things of God. I say as a warning of that, if there are those of you that think you'll walk in that way, and that if you are the Lord's will bring you back, don't presume in that way, because it may well be the Lord will not bring you back and just leave you to go on your way. Never sin that grace might abound, or with the thought that, well, I'll just live how I like, and if I'm one of the Lord will keep me and the Lord will convert me. Never provoke the Lord in that way. Seek him while he is to be found. You think of those who lost their lives without warning in the towers this last week. And may we never presume upon the Lord. Well, then he speaks of the blessing of the glory of his grace. He speaks of the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and how that he's given to us grace and wisdom and prudence, and to know the mystery of his will. All of these blessings are bound up with the Lord Jesus Christ, and those spiritual blessings. I always remember the first time the Lord blessed me in purely a spiritual way out of a providential trial. And I got to the end of that trial and I looked at it and I thought, well, there's been no material help in this, not financially, not health, not materially in any way at all from beginning to end. But I could see the Lord's teaching and blessing in it. And it so humbled me to think, Lord, thou hast done this not for my earthly good, but for my soul's good. And that is such a precious thing. There are many that are like the apostle warns later on there in Corinthians or the first epistle. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. That treasure that the Lord gives is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a dead Christ. It is he that has said, come, follow me, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And most solemnly, that young man that asked, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, when the Lord said to him to part with all his worldly goods, then he went away sorrowful. He did not prize this treasure, the treasure of Christ, that having Christ we have everything. Partner of my throne shalt be, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me. The Lord gathers his people to be with him, and his beautiful prayer in John 17, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Christ will be precious for those that are a prepared people for a prepared place, which is with their Lord and with their Saviour. The hymn writer says, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. That is hard to say, except by grace, very hard. But when Christ is precious, then we may. And so that treasure that believers have, Christ formed in us the hope of glory, a treasure in heaven, the first earnest of it, the tokens of it, are let into the heart, that those that the Lord would have be with him, he gives them to understand how they shall be with him, who it is that has purchased them with his precious blood at Calvary, who it is that shall bring them to be with him in heaven, who it is that's lived a perfect life and imputed or given to them his righteousness to stand before God in, and to realize those precious treasure, those secrets of godliness and of the blessings of the Lord. It is a treasure. How much, dear friends, do we value what the Lord has revealed to us and given to us? We're warned in the Revelation, see that no man take thy crown. The devil often will come and you say, it is naught, is naught, is nothing. How many of you know this? When you've been in a trial and you sought the Lord and begged the Lord for help, and the Lord's come and brought you out of it, and after it, you think, well, that wasn't such a great trial after all. It wasn't such a great thing. You think, where does that thought come from? Why is it suddenly being minimized? What is it doing? It's stopping giving thanks to the Lord. And I often feel in that circumstance, I try in my mind to go back to the time that it wasn't answered, to put myself again in that position. What if it hadn't have been answered? What then? And then you can see it in a bit clearer light. The devil will always try to minimize what God has done and rob him of the glory and of the praise and of the thanksgiving. He said it would happen anyway. We are told in the word that while they are yet praying, I will answer. Or before they call, I will answer them. Someone might be praying for help and that help arrives on the doorstep and they find out that the means, the person that's brought it, set off on their journey an hour before. I think, well, I've been praying for that, but they're already on their way. That can't be an answer to prayer. It would have happened anyway. If I hadn't have prayed, they would still come. But before they call, I will answer. The Lord sets them off on their journey to answer a prayer that he will give to his people to make and to answer. The timing of the Lord. We always think that things have got to be in our order. That we will pray and the Lord will hear and then set about bringing about an answer. The Lord doesn't work in that way. And we see a beautiful planning in the end result, and it is all to the Lord's honour and glory. Why, with Daniel, he understood by books that the time of the captivity was coming to an end. He set himself to prayer, and the Lord says, right at the beginning, the angel was sent to appear to him. And the Lord gives prayer, he answers prayer, and to him must be the honour and the glory. And we see the working of the Lord for us. We spoke, I think, this morning. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. When we're thinking here then of the treasure, I want to look now at where the treasure is placed. And we're told here that it is in an earthen vessel. There's another place in Scripture where it speaks of a similar thing, and it speaks of the cup of salvation. I will take the cup of salvation and render my vows or praise to the Lord. And I often picture it like a cup, And all the things that the Lord has done for me in my life, the blessings under the ministry, the providences that have worked for good under his hand, all things that are put into that cup. And each one of us will have, as it were, a different cup of salvation, of what the Lord has done for us and blessed us with. And, you know, the psalmist says, I'll take that cup. It's those things. I'll give render praise to the Lord for what he's done. For me personally, those are my treasures. Those are the precious things that the Lord has done for me. Remember one time going along to work, and I mean, many years ago, and I actually had the radio on in the car, and it came upon me, no, you turn that off. How can you have meditation upon the Lord with that going on? So I turned that off and tried to cry unto the Lord that I might have thoughts of him, meditation profitable. But instead, what first happened was my mind was directed to several others of the Lord's people that I thought, well, they had much better experience than mine. And my own feelings as to my own standing got less and less. It's almost despised what the Lord had done for me. And then it came into my mind, but those things you've read about other people, that's theirs. And though not disbelieving what they're saying, you don't know how real those things are. But the things that have been done for me, even if it was just one thing, I know that is real. And you know that the man that was born blind, he said, one thing I know, and that is very precious. Don't ever despise the work in your soul by comparing it to others that you might look upon as giants in the things of God. If the Lord has given you one thing for himself and opened up one truth to be very precious concerning himself, then he'll never take that away. That is your treasure, and that is precious. But you know, we are earthen vessels. Earthen vessels, sometimes they're leaking vessels. They themselves, we feel our weakness, we feel totally unfit for what the actual blessings are, and for what has been put in us. And yet the Lord has ordained this to be so, that his people are not to strut about and say, well, no, I'm much more godly than the rest of you. I live closer to the Lord, and my prayers are so eloquent, and I never have doubts and fears, and I always trust the Lord, and he always brings me through trials. We are not to be in that way, that the treasure that's put in just lifts us up and makes us proud. The way the Lord deals and shows us here, if you say to the people of God, this is how you are to expect a true and a real believer. The treasure that he has in him is treasure. It is very precious. It's real. It comes from heaven. It will lead you to heaven. The vessel it is put in is of the earth. It is of this life that must be laid down, and the soul must depart to God that gave it, and this mortal must put on immortality, this corruption incorruption, this poor, frail, sinful self, the good that I would, I do not, the evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's the language of Paul. And you see, what a contrast. What a contrast between the earthen vessel and the treasure that is in it. And yet, in the word, it is inseparable. Where the Lord puts that treasure in, that vessel is a saved vessel. It's a blessed vessel. It's one of the Lord's dear people. It's one that shall be with him in heaven, but not with that corrupt earthen vessel. In that beautiful plan of salvation, the Lord has provided for a change of vessel, a glorious body. And at the last day, when the Lord shall come, the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and they shall be given another body. It shall still be the same person, recognizable as the same person, but glorified, no longer sinful, no longer capable of death, and capable of seeing and being with the Lord forever. And the Lord has provided that for his people. What a contrast between what the Lord has in store for his people and the earthen vessel that they have now. Job says, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God for myself and not for another. He knew that his Redeemer liveth and should stand at the latter day upon this earth. And he had that knowledge, that treasure. And yet still there were things he found difficult to comprehend. And there may be those with some of you, things you find difficult. Dear Job, he knew the promise was to the seed of the woman. But he says, but how can a clean thing come out of an unclean? How can there be the Saviour, the seed of the woman, in the generations from Adam? Well, we know how it was through the virgin birth. But Job, he struggled to look and to understand that. But did that take away from his position in Christ? No. The things we don't understand, leave them with the Lord. Later on, they'll be opened up. And precious are those things that the Lord has shown, and with the expectation that he'll show more. And so then, there's a reason we are told here why we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And it is that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. How many of us that know the Lord realize how much power is needed to keep us in his ways, to subdue our old nature, to keep alive our own soul, to bring us to fruitfulness? Do we prove painfully no man can keep alive his own soul? Is our cry so often, Lord, breathe upon me again, stir me into life, quicken my soul again, bring me out of this pit, bring me from this dead feelings and lifelessness, quicken my soul again, bring me again to love with that love that I've known before? And we need that power from the Lord. We're dependent. The people of God are dependent on every breath of life, and everything that they have is to come from the Lord. And the glory of what the Lord has given, no man shall say that what he has, he's got himself. The Apostle Paul, he says that, why do we glory? Have we not received that from the Lord? If the Lord hadn't given us life, if the Lord hasn't opened our understanding, we'd have nothing. All that we've received is by grace. All that we've received is by mercy. And all the honour and glory is the Lord's. And so there's a reason why we might wish it were otherwise, groan under a body of death. But the Lord has a design for this, and it is that the crown be placed on his head. Don't dream of perfection in the flesh. Yes, long after holiness, long to be like Christ and seek that holiness which is from him. But don't long for a holiness and perfection independent and separate of Christ that makes you not a dependent sinner, beggar, pleader at his throne. He delights to help his people, delights to pour in and to bless them with the treasures of his grace and of his love and mercy. and power. The Lord does not despise sinners because they are sinners. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins all the way through their lives, still sinners, crying to be saved from this sin and that sin, from this snare and that snare, but all the time proving Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The Lord bless his word. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £725, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Sayers is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for the Christian Concern and Christian Legal Centre. Our friends at Penn Stanton hope to hold a special prayer meeting on Friday evening, and our friends at Oakington hope to hold their anniversary service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. 1080.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.